We hear a lot about the ageing population crisis in Australia, but according to our first guest today, there's no such crisis. The recommendations made in the Caring for Older Australians draft report, released by the Productivity Commission, highlighted the need for an economic overhaul in order to afford good care for our growing aged population. And you might have heard Peter Mayers on the National Interest yesterday speaking about a crisis. But are things really that dire? Dr. Ben Spies-Butcher thinks not. He's from the public interest think tank, the Centre for Policy Development. Hello, welcome, Ben.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So you don't believe there's an ageing population crisis, do you? How do you come to that contrary view?
I know, it's a bit remarkable, isn't it, seeing everybody says there must be an ageing crisis, and we know that our population's getting older. Look, anything that you do over 30 or 40 years, and the projections that the Productivity Commission has, the ones that the Intergenerational Report that Treasury does, they look to 2050. And they find that, yes, we end up having some more older people than we did before. And yes, we spend a little bit more on aged care and health than we did before. But those changes will happen very gradually in a community that will be increasingly affluent and will be easily able to afford those things.
Yes. I mean, there's not just going to be more by 2050. There's going to be four times as many older people in 2050 as there are now. How will we look after them all? Surely that's a potential crisis.
Well, here's an interesting fact that people often don't know, is that in 2030, so 20 years ahead, you'd think something had developed by that stage, we'll have the same proportion of people of workforce age as we did in 1970. Now, that sounds remarkable, and everyone goes, how on earth does that work?
The same proportion.
So the same proportion of our population will be aged 15 to 65 in 2030, as was the case in 1970. So what's going on? Well, all that's happened is we've changed the people outside that age demographic. So in 1970, most of those people were aged under 15, and in 2030, most of those people are aged over 65. And the real crisis that's being developed is one entirely of government expenditures by people who are very afraid that the size of government will grow and don't want it to grow. Because in 1970, most of those young children were cared for by unpaid women who were in the home, while in 2030, more of them will require some form of care by the state. Now, there's no more work being done in total. Those women who were raising children were doing lots of work back in 1972, but economists don't recognise or even see the work that they were doing, and so suddenly think there's a crisis when all we're doing is reallocating the sort of care work that we're performing.
Yes. Although, I mean, the sort of care work we're performing, the very work that that people perform in the aged care system is among the most lowly paid, is it not, in our society?
It is, again, partly because our society doesn't value care work very much at all. Childcare is also one of the most lowly paid forms of work in our society. And so part of this is about reevaluating the priorities that we have as a society and saying, what is it that we want to put more resources into? And actually, a lot of the increase, for example, in health has very little to do with aging. It's got to do with rising expectations. Wealthier people expect more from their health system, the same as the way they expect more from their education system. And these services are labour intensive. We want more nurses per patient. We want more teachers per student. And it's reasonable that we can have that. We're a wealthy country, and they're good things to spend money on. The thing is that our governments provide those services. Well, as when we go and buy a plasma television screen or a four-wheel drive, markets provide those. Economists are perfectly happy for us to buy as many four-wheel drives and plasma television screens as we want. But they're very unhappy for us to have more teachers and nurses because that means that the state will have to pay for it. And really, this is about containing the size of government. That's the main issue here. Mm. It's not really about providing the sorts of services we need.
Mm. One of the recommendations, I'm sure you know that was in the Productivity Commission's report, was a bigger emphasis on user pays for aged care. Do you agree with this strategy? Is that the best way to go?
No. And look, we know that the Productivity Commission would advocate user pays for basically everything in all circumstances. And we partly know that because in 1999, when they did their first conference on ageing, they discovered there wasn't really that much of a problem. They said very similar things to what I'm saying now, and that we should only ever advocate policies that we would have advocated anyway. And these are the sorts of policies they advocate anyway. One of the problems with user payments, particularly for things which are preventative in nature, so this is the sort of help around the house to make sure you don't have a fall. If we charge people for those things, first of all, it's a bit like the GST. It's a tax that hits older, poorer people more than richer people. And secondly, it might discourage some of those people from using those services. Now, economists like that, But actually, it's really, really bad for us as a society, because if we don't help people around the house, it means they do have a fall and they end up in intensive care, which is bad for them and costs us a lot more as a community.
Mm. But so what you seem to be advocating, Ben, is increased taxes so that the government can pay, can fund increased aged care. Is that right? That's not very popular.
Well, you might think so, although charging people to take money out of their home just before they go into a very stressful period, I think, will be even less popular. But we don't really need to raise taxes either, because we already pump a lot of money into trying to assist people with ageing. We do it, though, through the tax system, through a series of tax subsidies that go to people with superannuation and people who buy houses. And those tax subsidies cost about four times in total the whole aged care budget currently. And most of that money, goes to high-income earners rather than low-income earners, because of the way that they're pumped through the tax system. They give the greatest deductions to those on the highest tax rate, and often don't give any money at all to people on the minimum wage. So if what we wanted to do was look at the large assets that the Productivity Commission says older folk are going to have in the future, a lot of that's going to be superannuation, we'd better just to more equitably allocate that in the first place, rather than give some people an awful lot of money and then claw back money from actually poorer people in the future in order to pay for the services.
Dr. Ben Spies-Butcher is with us at the moment on Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. He's from the Centre for Policy Development. So regardless of where the money comes from, Ben, do you think that we need a massive increase in spending to care for the aged population, whether it's a crisis or not?
Over time, we'll probably need a little bit more, that's true. But the real increase is really in health. That's where most of the increase will come. And as I say, even the intergenerational report by Treasury shows that the majority of that increase in the health budget is not related to ageing. It's related to increases in technology and rising expectations that come from being a more affluent country. So these are just natural transitions. As our country becomes wealthier, so it also becomes older. That's a sign of success. That means that we're living longer. We get healthier older people who tend to be more engaged in society anyway. You'll have higher participation rates by older people. What it is about is saying, what is it that we want to spend our resources on? And if we want to spend more of our resources on health and aged care, perfectly logical things to do, then all we need to do is ensure that we're able to do that. Markets can do that all the time. If we stop buying iPods and start buying plasma televisions, markets respond to that. No one thinks that that's a crisis. If we stop buying plasmas and we start spending more on healthcare, it shouldn't be a crisis either.
Do you think that it's appropriate that the Productivity Commission's been charged with addressing this issue? I get the impression, obviously, you think it should be a much bigger picture look at aged care.
Yeah, look, to be fair, the Productivity Commission, I think, has done a broader job than the normal Treasury intergenerational reports. It at least talks about the sorts of options we have for funding this. The Treasury doesn't really even go into that. But yeah, we do. We need a broader look at the way we want our society to work over the next 20 or 30 years. And that's not just about how governments spend money. It's about how all of us get along together.
Mm. Well, very interesting indeed. Thank you, Ben. Thank you for coming in to talk to us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
All the best. Dr. Ben Spies-Butcher is from the Centre for Policy Development. You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. Coming up, the man who has a PhD in ufology. But next, how to get the work-study balance right if you're a full-time student.